Well, greetings, my friends, in the precious name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, this is your radio speaker, Minor Hawk, coming to you with another message of salvation to those who realize their need of a Savior. And I trust that all of you listening to my voice today will just take a break from whatever you've been doing and listen to the Word of God. You know, it seems as though people today are just too busy to listen to the Word of God. Yes, they've got time for business, time for pleasure, but for Christ the Crucified, not a place that He can enter in the heart for which He died. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our God and our Father, we bow in Thy presence today to thank Thee again for Thy well-beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, our God, that He loved us so much that He left the throne above, came down to this sin-cursed earth, lived a sinless life, and yet died on the old rugged cross for our sin. And our God, we thank Thee for extending the day of grace so that others might come to know Him whom to know is life eternal. Honor Thy Son, bless Thy Word, for we ask it in His name. Amen. Now, friends, today I want to direct your attention to a portion of a verse of Scripture as we find it in the book of Jude. The book of Jude, verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Let me repeat. This is Jude, verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. And the Lord will bless to us the public reading of His Word. Well, friends, if we were to take the time to go back to Genesis chapter 4, we would read of two men who were the first people in recorded history to bring an offering unto God. Yes, and it's not by mere chance or coincidence that this incident is brought to our attention at the very beginning of the Bible. Ah, no. God has a purpose in having the story of Cain and Abel at the very beginning of His Word. And I believe the reason is simply to show us that even at the beginning of time, there existed men who either followed the way of God or else followed the dictates of their own evil hearts. Yes, and Cain and Abel are typical of the two classes of people listening to my voice today. Those who are willing to obey God and those who rebel against the God of heaven and go on in their own willful way. And that's the reason God makes it quite clear in this verse of Scripture in Jude verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Now today I'd like to discuss with you the character of this man called Cain. What kind of a man was he? What could he have done that would invite the judgment of God? And why does God warn people today not to go in the way of Cain? Well, friends, in defense of Cain, the Bible tells us that he was highly religious and a hard worker. Yes, he acknowledged that there was a God in heaven, and that's the reason he brought an offering or sacrifice to God. And we know that he was a hard worker, because we're told that he was a tiller of the ground. In other words, he was a farmer, and farmers are among the hardest workers in all the world. I know that from past experience, because I've had many evangelistic crusades there in Wisconsin. Well, friends, even though Cain was religious and industrious, yet he was in a position of disfavor with God. And the reason he was out of favor with God was simply because he was disobedient to the pattern, the principle, and the precept given by God in Genesis chapter 3. There you may recall how God covered the sinfulness of our first parents, Adam and Eve, by shedding innocent blood. In Genesis 3 and verse 21 we read, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothed them." Yes, sinner friend, from the very beginning, God has made it quite clear that innocent blood must be shed as an atonement for sin. And no doubt Adam and Eve told their sons Cain and Abel that too, how that they were spared the judgment of God because he himself had shed the blood of an innocent animal to cover their sinfulness or nakedness. But what happened? Cain rebelled against the principle of a blood sacrifice, and instead, he offered to God the efforts of a God-cursed ground. Yes, God had cursed the ground and told our first parents that because of sin, they would have to earn their living by the sweat of their brow. So when the time came for them to offer a sacrifice to God, Cain brought the very best fruits and vegetables to the altar. He was proud of what his ground had produced, And he wasn't going to deny the existence of a God who sent forth the rain and the sunshine. Oh, no. He believed in a God of goodness and grace. So he brought as a sacrifice to God the efforts of his own hands. And I can almost see Cain as he prepares to bring his offering to God. He no doubt carefully chose the biggest fruits and vegetables. And he no doubt cleaned them up good too. And he arranged them neatly on a beautiful tray or platter. And then with pious pomp and ceremony, he walks to the altar and gently places the offering upon the altar. Well, friends, the Bible tells us that God had no respect for Cain's offering because it was bloodless. No, he hadn't followed the precept of Genesis 3 and 21, where God had shed innocent blood to atone for the sin of Adam and Eve. And friends, down through the centuries, God has placed on record the disobedience of Cain to teach us that obedience is better than sacrifice, and a holy God demands the utmost obedience. Now, on the other hand, we read that Abel, Cain's brother, who was a shepherd, took one of his sheep and killed it, then offered the blood of the innocent animal as an atonement for his sin. Well, friends, we read that God was well pleased with Abel's offering, but unto Cain's offering, God had no respect. Yes, Abel acted in faith, as well as obedience to the divine pattern for remission of sin. But not so with this man Cain. He was too refined, too religious, too cultured to kill an animal. But later on in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 8, we read that he wasn't too refined or cultured, that he didn't kill his brother Abel. Yes, he killed his own brother Abel. How sad. How sad. Now I wonder if there's someone listening in today who is just like Cain. You're trying to please God by the efforts of your own hands. You're trying to reach heaven by your so-called good works, church membership, or religious ritual. Yes, you're trying to have your good deeds outweigh your bad. But friend, listen. You've gone in the way of Cain, whether you realize it or not. You've gone in the way of Cain. He too was religious, and he was sincere. But he was sincerely wrong because he was acting in self-will instead of bringing the bloodshed offering for sin. And so it is with you who are trying to please God in your way today instead of obeying the way set out by God. You know, in Proverbs 14 and 12 we read that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Sinner friend, as far as your salvation is concerned, you cannot work your way into God's heaven. In Titus 3 and 5, we read that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy that He saves us. Again, over in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, God says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." No, my friends, if we could reach heaven by our own efforts, then there would have been absolutely no reason for the Lord Jesus Christ to come from heaven and to die at Calvary's cross for our sin. But friend, the Bible says that in our flesh dwelleth no good thing, and there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Again, in Isaiah 64 and verse 6, we read that all of our so-called good works are nothing but filthy rags in the sight of a holy God. So that's the reason that the Lord Jesus Christ became the Lamb of God. He had to suffer. He had to bleed and die as the sinless substitute, just like Abel's lamb, in order to meet the claims of God against sinful man. Yes, and I thank God afresh today that His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, became the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And friends, when Jesus Christ shed His precious blood at Calvary, He was paving the only way of approach unto God. There had to be the shedding of innocent blood. In 1 John 1 and verse 7 we read that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So you see, it isn't church membership or baptism or trying to keep the Ten Commandments or Golden Rule that saves. Oh no. The sinner's soul must be saved through faith in the blood of Jesus Christ plus nothing. Plus nothing. Yes, my friend, all through the Bible, beginning at Genesis 3 and verse 21, we read that blood had to be shed in order to satisfy the claims of God against sin. And of course, it was all pointing forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 1 and verse 29, here's what we read. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. So that's it, sinner friend. God has demanded the shedding of blood from the very beginning of time. And the sooner mankind realizes that salvation is dependent upon God's way and not man's way, the better off mankind is going to be. In Hebrews 9 and verse 22, we read that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. And back in 1 Peter 1 verses 18 and 19, we read that we are not redeemed by corruptible things, such as silver and gold, but rather with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Friend, as this voice of the gospel broadcast comes to a close today, let me ask you, are you like Cain or are you like Abel? Are you depending upon your own efforts to reach heaven? Or are you trusting in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember, God says, woe unto them that have gone in the way of Cain. Now, friends, as this broadcast comes to a close, let me tell you very briefly how you can be saved, how you can be born again right where you're at, whether you're at home or in an automobile, regardless of where you may be or regardless of who you may be. You can be saved if you believe what I'm about to tell you right now. First of all, my friend, you must realize that you're a sinner. We're all sinners. I'm no better than you, and you're no better than me. You must then realize there's absolutely nothing you can do to save your own soul. If there was, then why did Jesus die? Why did he die that shameful and ignominious death of Calvary's cross if you and I could do anything to save our own soul? Then, my friend, by faith alone, you must realize that when Jesus Christ died on the cross nearly 2,000 years ago, he was dying for you. He was the just one dying for you and I, the unjust, so that he might bring us back to God. Friend, then you must believe that when God says you're saved, you're saved. Don't wait for any feeling. If you're waiting for a feeling, my friend, you'll get more than you can handle if you die unsaved. It isn't a question of feeling, it's a question of faith. So, friend, I plead with you, in love for your soul and in view of eternity, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, because if you do, according to God, who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time, and thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we claim thy promise that thy word shall not return void. Even now, out in Radio Land, may there be those who are placing their faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone as their own Lord and Savior. May it be so for his name's sake. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll be only too happy to do so. Address all letters of correspondence to the Voice of the Gospel, P.O. Box 6, McKeesport, P.A., 15134. That address again, the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, P.A., 15134. And now to our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.